You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. We are back and we are doing it, the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. The network is. We still had some struggle days last week, but we're back this week and we're going to try to fit in four this week if possible, even though we're starting on Wednesday. We're going to try to double up probably on Friday. That's the goal. I was going to say the goal and the hope. That's the gope. Anyway, let's get to it. I want to discuss some recruiting things. I don't know why I'm looking at my computer because I don't need it. Anyway, obviously we have some things that we need to talk about that we haven't talked about. CJ Carr committing to Notre Dame, why I don't think that's that big of a deal overall. I spoke to actually starting to get kind of into recruiting again personally, meaning that we've got some official visit reactions from last week. We're still trying to get more. We'll try to get as many as we can coming out of this next week as well. So we'll talk a little bit about what I learned, all of that kind of stuff. But there's a lot that's going on when it comes to Michigan football. But before we get to all of it, I do want to give you the disclaimer that, listen, I see people online, on the internet, freaking out over some recruiting stuff because Michigan hasn't gotten a recruitment in a couple months, Benjamin Hall being the last one. They're like, Michigan State's cleaning up. Michigan State's getting a four-star every other day. Yada, yada, yada. Listen, we go through this every single year. If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, and, you know, we've been doing this since 2018, the Locked On Wolverines podcast, but we started it in September after week three, I believe. So we've had the summer of 2019, the summer of 2020, in the summer of 2021. I believe, I'm not mistaken, certainly the last 2 years, but maybe the last 3 years, I have had this very, I don't think the 2019, maybe that was the one that we didn't have to have this disclaimer, but there is zero reason to be freaking out because this happens every single year. Every single year. There has not been a year in which fans are like, oh man, I guess the only exception being to some degree, a little bit. And even then people were freaking out. JJ McCarthy's class and Chris Hinton's class. Because but even them, like I remember the JJ McCarthy class were coming into 2021 or whatever the class that was, or it was 2020. And I remember it was the same deal as people were like, ooh, I don't know about this. I guess that would have been 2020. People were like, oh, they haven't gotten a recruit in a while. And they've got the five-star, but I don't. It's the same thing every year. So I think it's weird that people continue to struggle with this because it's the same thing every single year. Without fail, Michigan gets the bulk of its class from mid to late June forward. And I remember in 2019, yeah, people were freaking out in 2019. Because I remember in 2019, everyone was like, where are the commits? And then suddenly, there was like 8 commits in 7 days. And, you know, some of them didn't end up sticking or they ended up transferring out already. But in that class, you had guys like AJ Henning and Jordan Morant and all of these guys. And people were like, oh, wow, man, I feel really good about the class. Happens every single year. You look back to last year, people were freaking out at the same time. And then you get to an early signing day and people are like, ooh, I really like how this class turned out. It doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. Every time. Without fail. So, the same thing applies this year. And they've got a couple good recruits. Hopefully they can hang on to Raylan Wilson. I know that that's that's going to be a struggle. I've heard from a good source that it's Georgia that is the scary one, not Florida, even though he's been to Florida a few times. Seems like that's really been piling on. Is Georgia is the one that has to be worried about. So, with that in mind, yeah, just it'll get figured out. You know, it's going to, it might feel a little scary for a minute, but they've got a lot of different guys that are certainly going to be in the mix. Some of them are ones that, like, and here's the other disclaimer. Let me back things up for a second. The other disclaimer is just because a guy is ranked at a certain spot right now, whether it's 5-star, 3-star, they very well could go up or down. We've seen it happen a bunch of times. I believe at this time last year, Mason Graham was a 3-star. And then by the time that he committed, he was a 4-star. Or by the time, not the time he committed, but the time the class was done, he was a 4-star. And everyone's like freaking out about the idea of him maybe defecting to Washington. At the same time, Keon Sab at this time was a 5-star. He ended up being a 4-star. So it can change, right? These things are fluid. They are constantly fluid. And I don't know why we always seem to have forgotten on a year-by-year basis as to what is going on and how this works, especially at Michigan, because this is when they seem to want to make their push. And when there comes to a lot of bigger guys, you can sit there and complain, hey, they don't have X, they don't have whatever. But a lot of these guys that they're hoping to get haven't decided yet. They're very few, at least in 2023, glaring misses. There have been some misses, absolutely. Jordan Hall going to Michigan State. Obviously, in 2024, is DJ Carr going to Notre Dame. But when it comes to the guys that they really want, they're all pretty much still on the table. So I don't think there's any reason to be concerned. If it's November and they're sitting with like 10 commits or something like that, and, you know, that isn't a bunch of guys making a decision on early signing day, yeah, maybe be concerned. But again, not how you start, how you finish. I don't know why we go through it every single year, but we do. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the CJ Carr situation and get into a bunch more stuff here. All right, listen, I tried this yesterday for the first time, and it was incredible. But you know how our friends are Built are always coming out with amazing new flavors? Well, this time Built has truly outdone themselves with their new Mud Pie flavor. I agree. For the first time ever. Built is introducing the new Mud Pie flavor in both the Mud Pie Bar and Mud Pie Puff. I loved both of them equally. So whatever that says. Not sure what Mud Pie tastes like? Well, if you're a chocolate fan, you better sit down for this. The new Mud Pie Bar is rich whipped cream and chocolate mousse smothered in 100% real chocolate topped with cookies and cream crumble. You've got to try Mud Pie as soon as possible, and you need to hurry because the Mud Pie Bar and Mud Pie Puff are only available for a limited time. Visit Built.com to taste the deliciousness for yourself. Not convinced? Well, we saved the best for last. It's actually good for you. No, really, it is. All Built products are low calorie, high protein, low sugar. Mud Pie is packed with 16 grams of protein and only 150 calories and 8 grams of sugar. I had two back to back. I had one of each back to back. So, good meal replacement situation as well. It's like your mom baked the most deliciously creamy chocolate Mud Pie and wrapped it up just for you. Mud Pie bars and puffs are available at Built.com right now, but they're going fast because they are delicious. Like all Built bars, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty. What's great about Built is that all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new Mud Pie Built Bar and Built Puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout or late night treat or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Chocolate mousse, whipped cream, cookies and cream crumble. Stop drooling. Get to Built.com. Order your box of Mud Pie bars and puffs now. You won't regret it. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All All right, after a battery change, we are back. See me sliding in, coming out of the break there. So, CJ Carr made the decision to go to Notre Dame. And obviously, there's been something of a meltdown there, because especially considering it's Lloyd Carr's grandson. That makes sense, of course, right? Because that's not an ideal situation to have a legacy guy who frequently beat Notre Dame, his grandson end up going to Notre Dame of all schools. I think because it's a rival, that's one thing. Obviously, I think fans thought like, well, CJ Carr is clearly in the bag. It didn't really seem like Michigan was really pursuing him super hard though, you know? That's the thing. And for all of the kind of consternation that's come from the fan base, CJ came out and said, hey, you know what? I wasn't really planning on going to one of the in-state schools. I wanted to get out of Dodge. Always be a Michigan man, but I got to get out of here. That's basically what he said. So, is what it is. And it sounds like he might reclassify to 2023. It's never a good thing. Let's just face facts. It's never a good thing to lose a 5-star in your backyard. One that's the grandson of a longtime head coach and a guy who's still around the program. No, that's not good. But sometimes just it doesn't matter what, how many ties a kid has. They want to forge their own legacy. Think about the Mallory kid who ended up going to Miami. That was a similar situation. He was a 4-star, of course. That sometimes that's just how it goes. That's just the way the news goes, in the words of Rick and Morty, Rick Sanchez there. But it's not an ideal situation, of course. But it isn't the end of the world. It'll happen from time to time. If Michigan can get Dante Moore, then in a way, no harm, no foul. And just as much, if Michigan can get Jaden Davis, who last week was, he was another 5-star. Some consider him to be the best quarterback in the 2024 class. He's already got a prediction that he'll come to Michigan by one of the 3 services. I don't remember which. He was at a camp in Las Vegas wearing Michigan shoes and a Michigan towel. Michigan's working really hard on him, the South Carolina prospect. I think it's South Carolina. So with that in mind, yeah, sometimes, guess what? You win some, you lose some. And if Michigan ends up getting a guy that's kind of the same caliber, then cool. But you know what? Not every school is going to get every guy. The thing that sucks, of course, is quarterback's the most important position. It's a 5-star. That's been very rare that there's been 5-stars coming out of the area. So yeah, you want to go and get the 5-stars that are in your area. But at the same time, just get a good player. If you can get a guy that's equal or you like just as much, and if it seems like Michigan wasn't really that into him, then it is what it is. Especially if it is, I'm not trying to justify it. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be like, oh, Michigan wasn't that into him. I'm not making excuses here. I'm saying these are all things seem to be true. Michigan wasn't that into him. He also wasn't going to play. He didn't want to play in state. Okay. So go and get a guy that you want that can be really good. And hope that that works out. Michigan likely won't play against him. Lest they meet Notre Dame in the playoff or a bowl game. So really no harm, no foul. Get Dante Moore, get Jaden Davis, get whoever else that you can to fill out this class. I'm like leaning over if you're watching the video because the microphone just will not stay up. I don't know what, it was doing fine all day as I worked on music stuff. All right, there we go. Hopefully it stays up here. I'm not hunched over. You get a little extra when you're watching on video. Kudos to the old school podcast listeners instead of the watchers. Anyhow, so yeah, it's not ideal. It is what it is. Move on. There's other fish in the sea, so to speak. And Michigan seems like it's in it for one of the big fish. So that's super good news. You know what I mean? All right. So let's start in on some of the guys that I talked to and just kind of my general impressions, as well as just kind of things I've heard from going from there. And we'll probably do a lot of touch them all here because we got half of this segment and then a full next segment before we whatever. But well, you know what? Let's just do it in the next segment because we've been going for about 5-6 minutes. So we'll finish out with that in segment three and talk about the guys that I spoke to, how I feel about them, and all of that. So that coming up, and that will close us out. A little more tampering with the microphone, but we're back. You're doing it. Anyway, I spoke to, I think, 4 or 5 guys. I'd have to double check here. Let's get this pulled up so I know that where we're at here. So I spoke to Caden McDonald, Paul Mubenga, Frederick Moore, Logan Howland, Christopher Tarek. So those 5 guys. So let's go through. The big one being Caden McDonald, the defensive tackle from Georgia. He's from North Gwinnett, and he was awesome. He was an awesome guy to talk to. I could have talked to him forever, but we had like 3 minutes or 3-4 minutes. Normally, I'm like, all right, let's just get into it, and we were just talking a bunch of stuff because he's just a cool dude. He wanted me to know over and over again, like, listen, I am not stuck down here in Georgia. Yeah, some of these schools like Georgia and all these other ones, they want me, but I am feeling Michigan. And what I hear on the street, meaning from a really good source, is that that the mother was just as wowed by about what she saw when she came on the official visit to Ann Arbor. So that's really good news. That was an unofficial visit, by the way. He's going to come back 2 more times. He's coming back for the barbecue at the Big House in July, and then he's going to come back again for the Hawaii game as an official visit. But he's like, yeah, I am feeling Michigan. Michigan is something that I'm all about what they have to offer. We hear guys say academics all the time. He seems serious. My only consternation there is he said he wants to study broadcasting. And anytime any guy says that, like, I'm like, because Michigan doesn't really have a broadcasting school. They have a film school, which is where I got my degree in, where they have communications, but not broadcasting. They're not going to, or they have theater. But those are all very different things, right? That's not typical broadcasting. So I'll be curious. Now, you could go to Wolf TV and learn broadcasting there. It's not a program. It's like an extracurricular. I don't know how much time that a player has for something like that. But they have that. So that there's that. I feel pretty good about that. If that's one of those ones where if I had a crystal ball, I'd probably put it in for Michigan. But he's a ways away. He's not deciding until October. Frederick Moore. Wide receiver from St. Louis. He's a fast guy, runs like an 11.5 100 meter dash. So not quite Xavier Worthy type speed, but pretty close, very close, 1 second slower. He's a guy that other people have put crystal balls in. 4 across crystal balls on 3 recruiting prediction machine and Rivals Futurecast. They seem to really be putting in for Frederick Moore. Again, I don't really have much to say except for he really was blown away. Really, they said that he can really fill a Andrell Anthony type role. And that's kind of what he's looking for. He's looking for an offense where he can be versatile and such. And it seems like Michigan is offering him that. So he was really pleased with that. Again, word on the street, feeling pretty good. Actually, I think most of these guys feels pretty good. Paul Mubenga is the other one. Another one. The rest are the offensive linemen. 3 offensive linemen. Paul Mubenga came back for the second time, he came for the spring game, and then he was back now for his official visit. He spent a lot of time just trying to kind of learn more about the support systems, the academics, all that kind of stuff, and came away feeling really good. I know he's got a couple more visits, but it just, again, another one that Michigan really seems to be in the lead for. Logan Howland spent a lot of time with Jim Harbaugh.
all three of these offensive linemen are three stars. Logan Holland spent a lot of time with Jim Harbaugh, said he didn't really feel like he was talking to a big time head coach. That they talked mostly life, football, and Christopher Tarek said that he really liked the energy that he felt on the visit. Now, all five guys said one variation of the same thing, and that's that they could feel that the players were leading the charge in the sense of they wanted to win, that they're hungry, and they could sense that from their visits. And that they just really felt like the sense of like, man, these players want it so bad. And, you know, some of these guys like Caden McDonald said, hey, you know, Michigan's going to win a championship in the next couple of years. And it's like, because he sees not only what the coaches are doing, but what the players are doing. That, I think, is going to have an impact in a way. Like, I think it's really funny when you look around, you see around and you see that there are all of these different, you know, predictors out there that don't really have Michigan as one of the top programs in college football at the moment. And I say that, but, you know, it's still Lindy's, which who I write for their preview magazine, and as well as Athlon have their preview magazines out, and they have Michigan finishing second in the Big Ten. Okay, fine, whatever. Obviously, after last year, that's not where anyone wants to be, but that's clearly they don't think Michigan's an also-ran. But you're starting to see these players really, or these recruits, seeing that the players have that seriousness about them. They feel like the coaching staff is great. It's almost like they were given a script when I talked to some of these guys. Because when I talked to some of them, they'd all say the same thing. You know, it's Michigan's one of the best schools in the country, public schools in the country. Okay, every single one, I think all five of them said, Michigan's one of the best public university or one of the best public universities in the country. All five of them mentioned the energy they saw from the players. All five of them talked about just how they feel like it's the right coaching staff. And even the coaches we don't know as well, like Elston and Jesse Minter, made a huge, huge impact on these visits. That's, I went to ask, and Strowman Moore too, because when I asked Frederick Moore about Ron Bellamy, he's like, yeah, I got a relationship with Ron, but let's talk about Strowman Moore. When I asked about Mike Elston to Caden McDonald, he's like, yeah, we'll talk about Mike in a moment, but I really, really, really like Jesse Minter. So everyone kind of has the same thing. And every time that I've noticed in my years of covering recruiting, almost always when players are almost spouting what sounds like program propaganda, it's almost always good news for the Wolverines. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow we're going to go back to the mailbag that we didn't do last week. So we'll do that. And we'll go from there, and then we'll probably start on the defensive ends and defensive line as separate podcasts on Friday, unless there's other news that we need to talk about. All right, but thank you for watching and or listening. Again, sorry for the hiatus. Had a couple bad days last week, but we're back on track now. So anyway, thank you again. We will talk to you soon. Peace.